This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Going back to yesterday, had a fun afternoon and evening with an extended edition of OTB Live yesterday that focused on the Santa Anita card with a bankroll and made a little money for the bankroll team. We started out with $300 and kicked it up to about $460, so everybody got a little money in their account, everybody that was on the bankroll team. Don't forget, there is another bankroll team today, and it is open until about noontime. That will focus on the Rainbow Six Mandatory down at Gulfstream. So check out the website, capitalotb.com, for your opportunity to toss your name in the hat and perhaps get on the bankroll team. I'll be putting together a Rainbow Six play for later this afternoon. Hopefully do as well as we did yesterday. On a day of very successful promotions here, not only did the Santa Anita bankroll last night make some money, but the Belmont Syndicate. And Mike Callahan came in and sat in with me from about 4 to 8, or actually went to about 8:30, went right through the Santa Anita card. And as he sat down, we were in the last few races of the Belmont Syndicate. And if you're not familiar, started the Syndicate up at Saratoga, and for a little amount of money, a number of players can get in on a big late pick five ticket at Saratoga. It was at Saratoga, now it's at Belmont because we've extended the promotion. It was so popular up at Saratoga. It hit nicely up at Saratoga a couple of times. Well, as it went through the sequence, it was hitting each race and with very good horses, with the kind of horses you want in a pick five sequence. And it eventually got to the last race, and the Syndicate team was alive to five horses. And one of them, for 50 cents, was paying $25,000. So everybody on the team was set to maybe make $1,200 for their $25 investment. That horse winds up running second. Top of the stretch looked good, was kind of splitting horses, and oh, it could be the big payoff. But one of the other horses won. It was a little bit of a lesser payoff, but it was over $5,000 for 50 cents. So everybody on the team, I believe, got about $250 for their $25 investment. And the game plan with the Syndicate is you put in $25. A team is selected of 20 people. They each put in $25. That adds up to $500. Capital OTB puts in another $250. And everybody on the team gets to make some picks. And then a consensus is built amongst those picks. And a $750 pick five ticket is put together. And yesterday, one of the races was not only the last horse picked, but it was a tie between that horse and another horse, so had to go to the tie-breaking rules to get that horse in. And that was, I think, the biggest price in the sequence, but it turned out to be a very beneficial pick, obviously. So again, not only a good win, a good story, as well as the Belmont Syndicate team gets it done, and everybody for their $25 wound up with around $250 somewhere in there. Everybody on the Santa Anita bankroll team, I think, also wound up with not $250, but for zero investment on the bankroll team, wound up with $23, something like that, dollars. So it's a little free money out there with the two promotions yesterday. Had some fun, so hopefully you were Hopefully you were on the teams. If you weren't on the teams, at least tuned in and kind of enjoyed the afternoon and followed along as we, Mike and I, over the last few races, were kind of keeping folks up to date on the syndicate and then laying out the bankroll plays out at Santa Anita. So hopefully, again, if you were on the team, congratulations, and you made some money and had some fun. But hopefully you watched and had some fun and maybe got some ideas as the afternoon progressed and went into the evening as well. But we had some fun yesterday with a great card at Santa Anita. That's why we focused the bankroll. It was an opening weekend at Santa Anita with a lot of great Breeders' Cup prep races. And in our stakes review segment, I'm going to take a look at a few of those. Out at Santa Anita, and there was also a couple of nice stakes at Belmont as well. Coming up a little bit later on with the mandatory pay and the Rainbow Six, we will be joined a little bit later on by Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park. I thought we'd reach out to Ron, maybe get two or three ideas in the Rainbow sequence, and we can hit on that. A couple of rich stakes races for two-year-olds down there. We'll get some thoughts from Ron as well. That is coming up a little bit later on. But now let's take a look at some of that stakes action out at Santa Anita first. The Awesome Again, once the entries came out, people were waiting for this race and looking forward to a showdown between Improbable and Maximum Security. The betting public went for Maximum Security at 1-2, at 9-5, Improbable. I went with Improbable. I was impressed with the victory up here in the Whitney. It just seemed to me that given that victory, maybe Improbable is just getting better now as four-year-old, late in the four-year-old season. So I tilted towards Improbable. Maximum Security with the win in the Pacific Classic had seemingly validated his prior form. And there were question marks, obviously, with the situation moving into the Baffert Barn. But it seemed like the performance in the Pacific Classic may have validated what he had done earlier. But still, I just thought Improbable maybe was on the move forward and had kind of found himself. And so I tilted for Improbable over Maximum Security. Midcourt in the third spot. They came out of the gate, and I was sitting, as I say, in here with Mike Callahan. We were watching the race and commenting. Improbable, a horse who is usually right up in the mix, as they came down the backstretch, he was, you know, what's the chart margin for how far behind he was? I mean, it seemed like he was eight lengths behind the leader, and you know, it just seemed like, boy, is he interested in running today, and what's Drayden Van Dyke doing? But as they kind of hit the far turn, Drayden Van Dyke gets them going. And you see Improbable, the number two horse here, sweeps by. And he's going to wind up winning by a chart margin of 4.5. Maximum Security is the number five. And he does hold on for second over Midcourt. But well beaten here by Improbable, who, again, it was a little bit out of character to have him, you know, kind of behind the pack as he was. But that said, in a field of four, the other four were kind of in a little bit of a scrum, really coming right out of the gate, and put Maximum Security in a little bit of a jackpot with one on the outside, one on the inside of them going down the backstretch. They were certainly traveling 23, 46, 109 and change. And that just then set it up for Maximum Security. Drayden Van Dyke, you know, said he kind of saw what was happening. And he intentionally sat back, and it paid off as Improbable sweeps by and gets the victory yesterday. I haven't seen, let me see if I can just quickly pull up here and come up with buyers. I looked earlier this morning, and I didn't see any buyers, but let me see if I can go to some of the usual suspects who post stakes race buyers and see if I come up to something. Yeah, see, I don't see any updates. So I don't know the buyer, but certainly Improbable now comes out of this race sitting on a potential Eclipse Award, maybe a couple, Horse of the Year, older male, but sits in a good spot now moving into the Breeders' Cup Classic, coming out of this and getting the timing that Bob Baffert said he likes. And he mentioned he would have preferred not to have these two face each other. And I think the game plan was to have Improbable maybe come to New York, Jockey Club Gold Cup. But he said Elliot Walden of Windstar said, you know what, Improbable's a little bit better at Santa Anita. See, he's funny in the gate. And he seems better at Santa Anita than anywhere else. So Elliot Walden said, let's try the awesome again at Santa Anita. Works out. They get the win. They get a big win. And as noted, head into the Breeders' Cup now in very good form. So congratulations to the team there and a nice performance by Improbable. All right, a little bit earlier, it was the John Henry Turf Cup. United looked like the horse to beat. I put that one on top. This was one of our bankroll plays. I took a big exacta shot with United over Originaire. United's the number three horse. Originaire is the number two horse. United took them all the way around and pulls away here in the stretch. And Originaire is making a little move here. So for our exacta play, this was working out perfectly. It got a little dicey in the second spot as they got close to the wire, but Originaire does hold off the third place finisher, another mystery, to run second. So again, it was not a big exacta, but it helped our bankroll plays yesterday. But more importantly, United, again, on the front end, you had to feel good if you're using United, as you saw the early fractions. 24 and change, 49 and change, 113 and change. But then he hits the mile in 136 and change, and the mile and a quarter final time, 159 and at 0.17. He went the last quarter mile in under 45. I mean, this was a spectacular performance. You know, again, he had it all his own way early and set some very comfortable fractions, but it counted when he came home. The last eighth and 22, the last quarter in 22, the last half in under 45. So the last quarter in 22, the quarter before that in 23 and change, and again, the last half mile in under 46 seconds. So, I mean, it's just, man, he was traveling there at the end. Nice win for United. Richard Mandela, Flavian Pratt, and again, another one of the races on the day that presumably will have some Breeders' Cup implications. But again, you looked at the final times. You know, you're thinking, yeah, loping along on the front end, he'll have plenty left, but what's the final time going to be? It was a legit final time, and he came home in fine fashion. So again, Originaire to be second by a length and a half, that was a pretty good effort as well, you would have to think, given the times and whatnot. All right, let's go even a little bit earlier, the American Pharoah. This one, I said it when we talked with John White on Racing Across America, when we were talking yesterday with Brian Addo on the Handicappers Report, because we went through the Santa Anita card there. The American Pharoah was not a super strong field of two-year-olds. I mean, the two-year-olds on the West Coast just don't look like they're going to come into the Breeders' Cup with as much punch as the East Coast side of things. Jackie's Warrior and the Hopeful certainly looked very promising. So we'll see what that one does going forward. And some of the other two-year-olds here on the East Coast or east of the Mississippi we'll get to see at Keeneland as well. So again, it was not a particularly strong field, but I landed on, the betting public landed on Spielberg, a couple of second place finishes to Dr. Scheivel, who is off until next year. But that one seemed to be maybe a promising two-year-old out on the West Coast. So the 2 seconds to that one were enough to maybe recommend Spielberg, but Spielberg, a couple of starts, hadn't gotten a win yet, so was going into the American Pharoah as a maiden. Was also trying two turns for the first time. There are a few others in here that you could have made cases for if you were looking for alternatives. One that seemed very interesting was Notable Exception coming in for Jack Sisterson from Arlington in a career debut that looked pretty good on synthetic, but it put in a little bullet workout at Keeneland on the main track. So you thought that wasn't going to be an obstacle. So Notable Exception, the number four horse, was interesting as an alternative. And then there was a couple of horses in here. Ron Bauer, the number two, and Get Her Number, the number six, who were coming off of turf races. They hadn't tried the main track yet, but both of them had been in the Del Mar Juvenile Turf in their prior starts, and that was at a mile. So both of those horses at least had some two-turn experience. And if that was a factor in your handicapping, that worked out for you because both of those horses ran well. They ran 1-2. Get Her Number is going to be the winner here, the number six horse at 8-1. Rombauer at 11-1 completes the exacta. And it was a nice little $150 exacta. Spielberg winds up running third, but you can see it's a well-beaten third in here. Waspirant, the number eight, runs fourth. And Notable Exception is last in the field. But Notable Exception, who had some early speed, had a bullet workout coming in, and according to the paddock commentary at Santa Anita, one of the folks had spoken to the trainer, and they said, we're going. We're going to go, and we're going to push Spielberg. If he wants to go, that's fine, but we're going. Well, Notable Exception got off a little slowly. I'm looking at the chart. Yeah, the chart, off slow, chase, tired, and just, you know, if the game plan was we're going to take him as far as we can, we're going to be in front, it just, that plan fell apart out of the gate. So maybe it crossed the line through this one for Notable Exception. And if you liked him in here, follow him to the next start and see what he does there. Because obviously, again, the game plan just kind of fell apart given the scenario out of the gate yesterday for that one. Spielberg, on the other hand, Spielberg wasn't fast away from the gate either and usually does show some speed. So, but I don't know, you know, again, it's a Baffert horse. It was a horse that had shown a little bit of ability. It was taking some action on that front, but still a maiden. And so I don't know whether we really have any line on Spielberg to think that this performance was a disappointment compared to what we've seen so far, or this horse will be something going forward. This Spielberg just may be what he is at this point, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him kind of showing up in a non-winners of one other than to try to make something happen going forward. All right, we go a little bit earlier on the card, the Rodeo Drive for the Phillies and Mayors on the turf. Favorite in here was Lady Prancelot at 7-5. I liked Tonahutu, the number one horse. I did not use, I say that. I had in the bottom of my mix. Actually, I take that back. After the scratch moved up. So I had Mucho Unusual in the second spot after scratches because I originally had Bodhicitta on top. That one scratched. So again, Tonahutu was on top for me. That one's going to wind up fourth. And Mucho Unusual, again, scratched up to the second spot. I did not use the horse that ran second, though, Maxim Rate. So it's going to be number four, Mucho Unusual, over number two, Maxim Rate. And Lady Prancelot, the number six, the 7-5 favorite. Makes a little late run here, as you can see, but does wind up running third. As I say, the betting public went with Lady Prancelot. I put that one down at the bottom of my mix. I wasn't quite as convinced as the betting public. Tonahutu, though, the horse I did like, disappointing fourth in there. No threat to the winners. Showed a little punch early before fading. But on the front end, most of the way around, it was Mucho Unusual. Coming out of a decent try at Del Mar last time, and the Jenny Wiley two-back at Keeneland was well beaten behind Rushing Fall. But prior to that at Santa Anita, had run a good third that kind of said this horse, with the return to Santa Anita, maybe a player in here, and was a player on the front end, taking them all the way around again yesterday in the Rodeo Drive. And finally on the stakes action at Santa Anita yesterday, the 2-year-old girls, the 2-year-old filly race, the Chandelier. This one, as opposed to the boys' version, this one has a horse who will be a player, you would think, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Princess Noor had a couple of starts so far for Bob Baffert. They paid $1.35 million for this horse, and she had lived up to it in the two starts coming in, maiden special weight victory at Del Mar, and then the Del Mar debutante, both daylight victories, mid-70s for the buyers, which for two-year-olds this time of year is decent. Again, I haven't seen buyers for yesterday to see what she got, but she continued to impress. Princess Noor is the number one horse. Varda, another Baffert horse in the field, will run second, the number three. And Miss Costa, the five, runs third. But they are no challenge for Princess Noor, who just is you know, running away from this field. Chart margin of 8.25 in here. Now, I will say, she kind of trounces this field. I'm not sure how strong this field is. I said the boys boys version of the two-year-old race, the American Pharoah, did not have a strong group. This one had Princess Noor, who's going to be a contender in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. I think beyond her, again, this was maybe a weak bunch. So she looked good. She did what she was supposed to do. She wins by 8+, but again, the horses behind her still have to be defined for what they are, and I'm not sure they're going to define themselves as a whole lot, but she's going to be special. She has lived up again to that 7-figure purchase price and looked really good getting it done, so she'll be fun to watch going forward in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly. All right, let's turn the page and take a look at a couple of races at Belmont yesterday. The Vosburgh, always a fun sprint race, grade 2 event, $150,000. I thought Funny Guy was interesting. I said the Morrissey up at Saratoga impressed me. And then ran an okay fourth in the four-go, but that was, you know, in that crazy sloppy track that Win-Win-Win absolutely relished. But Funny Guy was my top pick. I had True Timber second. I had Engaged third. Didn't know what to do with Engaged, to be honest. And then Frenzy Fire ahead down in the fourth spot, which there's no bragging rights there, the fourth spot out of 5 horses. But I didn't quite know what to do with him either, coming out of a poor performance in the four-go. The Vanderbilt was maybe a little bit disappointing, but getting back to his favorite track, I probably should have known. This one had the question marks moving out of the Jason Service barn, moving into the Kelly Breen barn. Didn't seem to have gotten back to that form the horse had for the previous trainer. So, again, I was a little bit dicey on where to put Frenzy Fire, but likes the Belmont Strip and got back to a very good performance yesterday. Frenzy Fire, the number 5 horse here, went off as a second choice at 5-2. Betting public did like Funny Guy, as I did, at 9-5. Funny Guy's the number 2 horse, so they're going to run 1-2 here. And Funny Guy ran well. It's just, again, Frenzy Fire on his best day over the Belmont Strip is very tough. Eventual chart margin here, just under 3 lengths. And again, Funny Guy ran very well. Funny Guy, nice little New York bred, you know, stepping out into open company over the past couple of starts. And the fourth, and as they say in the four-go, was okay given the track circumstances. But yesterday, that second behind the track-loving Frenzy Fire was a good run for Funny Guy. So a nice little New York bred for Randy Hill and company and Funny Guy. But Frenzy Fire a little bit back on his game, and you would have to think heads to the Breeders' Cup sprint, which again, with Volatile coming up the ding and getting retired, that Breeders' Cup sprint maybe becomes a little more intriguing now. All right, let's move a little earlier on the card and go to the Noble Damsel at Belmont. Chad Brown with a contingent in here, and when I was doing OTB Live yesterday, I noted that I liked number 9, Feel Glorious, for Christophe Clement. That one's going to disappoint. Winds up 7th in the field of 9. I like Noor Sahara for Chad Brown. And then in the third spot, I had Viadera. Blowout, it was in the fourth spot for me. Another Chad Brown horse. But it winds up to be Chad Brown over Chad Brown in the exacta with Viadero over Blowout. And Viadero here is the number 1 horse. And you can see, kind of sitting back, but nice ride here from Joel Rosario to kind of come down, sneak down on the inside, and just keep plugging. And you can see number 4, Blowout, has kind of gotten the lead, but no, Viadero gets up late to get it done. Viadera gets it done. 5-1 there for the Chad Brown runner. Blowout, the other Chad Brown runner, was the 2-1 favorite, but the Chad exacta, just about $47 and change for a couple of bucks, so nice value there for the Chad Brown fans. Well, for the Chad Brown fans, if you pick the right Chad Browns, because he had 3 in there overall, so again, you had to parse out which way to go. Maybe you boxed up all 3, then you still would have made some money there. So there are the results from the 2 stakes races at Belmont as well, and again, really nice stakes day out at Santa Anita that will clearly have some Breeders' Cup implications. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little handicapping, maybe take a look at one of the pick plays at Belmont. And a little bit after that, we will be joined by Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park. Again, they have the mandatory pay coming up a little bit later this afternoon at Gulfstream with the Rainbow Six. We will have a bankroll play. Again, you can take your chance to get on the bankroll team. That'll be open until about noon today. Go to capitalotb.com and toss your name in the hat and try to get on the bankroll team for this afternoon, because that Rainbow Six, I think there's 740 in the pool already, and that'll go up easily in 2, 3, 4 million. So there'll be a big pool, and we will try to pull down some of it for the bankroll team a little bit later this afternoon. As I say, go to the website and toss your name in the hat, see if you can get on the bankroll team for the Rainbow Six. But Ron Nicoletti will join us a little bit later on after the break, however, a little handicapping for Sunday afternoon. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
Stone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish to the turn.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, thanks for joining us. Maybe we'll take a little stroll through the early pick five at Belmont. Again, I'll be back in a couple hours with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon, and we'll take a look at some Churchill, some Gulfstream, some Belmont during the afternoon. And again, we'll have that Rainbow Six play as well. But the opener at Belmont today, kicking off that early pick five, it's going to be maiden special weights, state bred maiden special weights on the grass. I have it 6-7-3-1. Gaelic Gold on top. Christophe Clement. Barn continues to do very well after a nice Saratoga meet. Continuing on very well down at Belmont. And this horse been knocking on the door. A couple of starts up at Saratoga. It's been right in the mix. And I think that has this horse primed in this particular group to maybe break through this afternoon. But Can You Do the Twist is interesting for Arch Kingsley, former steeplechase jockey Arch Kingsley. Can You Do the Twist? Decent little debut on July 2nd that puts this horse right in the mix with Gaelic Gold. Now, the form gets a little bit darkened with the off-the-turf try up at Saratoga that, you know, didn't show much that day. Back to Belmont, back to the turf. Now, the first start was for a maiden 40 tag and now moves up to maiden special weight. But again, I think if you look at this field and what they're running and what he ran, she ran in the first start of the career, I think Can You Do the Twist is going to be live in here and maybe a little bit interesting and a little bit of value perhaps. And Pure Bodie in the third spot. Again, a couple of starts, a couple of nice improving starts so far for Mark Cassie. And like the top pick, it just seems like this horse may be primed to run very well this afternoon. Firster from Mike Maker is interesting. Mike Maker and Mike Rapoli by declaration of war. Nice steady string of workouts. Jose Ortiz on board. That one is, as I say, interesting. First time out of the box in a field that is not filled with any world beaters. So this horse doesn't have to be a superstar to get it done. So again, that would be one that maybe for playing around keep in mind as well in the opener at Belmont. 6-7-3-1. Race number two at Belmont this afternoon. It's a conditional claimer. They're on the grass at a mile and an eighth. I have a 2, 4, 8, and 6. I put Mini P on top, another Christophe Clement runner. And this one, maybe a little bit of a question mark in that had a layoff from November of 2018 until June of this year. And the comeback wasn't bad. I mean, it was fifth in a field of 10 and probably showed enough punch to think, okay, but then off since that June layoff. So, I'm tilting towards this horse, and if this horse runs a best effort or a good effort, probably good enough to get it done in this field or at least be right there in the hunt. I'm just not totally convinced that we're going to get, you know, a top effort given the scenario. Again, this horse had shown some ability early in the career, then had the layoff of a year and a half, comes back, and then has another kind of lengthy layoff, set off virtually the entire summer, and now comes back for a tag, too. And so there's another question mark. So I'll put Mini P on top because I think this is the best horse, but there are some question marks, particularly if you're playing that early pick five or this now this second race kicks off a pick four. Enough question marks that you can make the case to play around a little bit and look for a little other value. Shore Magic drops in for a tag. It's the other Christophe Clement in here, as Mini P is 9-5 and Shore Magic is 6-1. This one, again, dropping in for the tag. And the races 2 and 3 back down at Gulfstream are clearly good enough. The Saratoga race was a complete disappointment. And again, there's a question mark there. Disappointed last time, off something of a layoff, and now comes back for the tag. So again, the two Clement runners have some question marks that have to be answered. We'll find out more this afternoon. But Chad Brown has Rakeez in here for Shadwell, going maiden special weight to maiden claiming, has been off since January. But the maiden breaker says this horse, particularly being lately raced and having the potential to come back even better, Rakeez is a player at 5-2 and at 6-1 Cowtown for Todd Pletcher getting back to the turf, I think can also be interesting. Oh, I take that back. Cowtown, I originally had down at the bottom of my mix, and I eventually moved Mystery Bank up for Orlando Noda coming out of a starter allowance up at Saratoga and a maiden breaker up at Saratoga. The two Saratoga races were decent. So this one perhaps is in the best recent form, Mystery Bank. And as I say, I went back and forth with Cowtown because I thought Cowtown's last turf race was pretty good. But that was back in May and has had a dirt race that wasn't as good since. So as I say, really the three I have on top and Cowtown all have back races that are okay, but recent races not so much. So that's again why I pulled Mystery Bank up into the fourth spot on a little bit of recency for Orlando Noda and Jose Ortiz on board. So in the second at Belmont, 2, 4, 8, and 6. At Belmont in the third race today, $10,000 claimers going a mile, 4, 6, 5, and 2. Stefan just looks very good for Linda Rice. Claimed two back out of a win and then ran fourth at the 20 level last time up at Saratoga. Now drops in for the 10. Had a voided claim last time. So there are some question marks, but one of those that if this horse runs back to the last effort is good enough to get it done in with this particular group. So I'm going to tilt towards Stefan, but again, question marks if you're looking for alternatives, looking to make an argument for alternatives in the pick plays. Cold-Hearted Pearl has plenty of positional early speed, potentially could take the lead and try to take them all the way around. Went out to the Finger Lakes last time, won pretty easily, but has certainly shown a little bit of oomph on the Naira circuit. The races up at Saratoga were the race up at Saratoga and the two races prior at Belmont, maybe a little bit disappointing, but going back to the Aqueduct race back in February, again, this horse showed some punch on the Naira circuit with a win there. I think with this bunch, probably fits in here okay. And again, might offer a little value. In the third spot beyond discreet. Had been facing some optional state bred company earlier, and then the last couple of starts moved into open company. Wasn't, you know, knocking it out of the park against that type, but get some additional class relief today that I think could prove the tonic, as it were, for Beyond Discreet. So in the third at Belmont, 4, 6, 5, and 2. Fourth race at Belmont, maiden specialist going 6.5. I have it 7, 4, 2, and 3. Honey Pants, interesting to me for Chris, from Christophe Clément by Cairo Prince. Love the Cairo Prince runners first out. And I looked up in Queen's Carousel, the dam has produced a number of win early siblings. This horse is working well. I think Honey Pants is absolutely live here in this fourth at Belmont. Autostrada may turn out to be one of those Chad horses that is very intriguing. I mean, intriguing from you look up at the board and it's going to start to get some action. And in that case, maybe this is one you take another look at. I have it right in the mix, though. Chad Brown with the first stir from Peter Brandt. They paid $375,000. There was a sibling called Urban Cat that was ninth in the debut, then won the second career start. The debut was on turf. They moved to dirt for that second start, which was the improved win. So Autostrada is interesting. Lightfoot Miss by Violence. Love Violence as a win early sire. Didn't live up to it in the debut. Ran fifth, but fifth by half a length. So was right there in the mix. Won't surprise with an improved effort. And Chad Brown also has Spa Ready by Street Sense, who could be an interesting player in here. Fun little race. But again, I think Honey Pants might be interesting for Christophe Clément. In the fourth at Belmont, 7, 4, 2, and 3. And finally completing that early pick five at Belmont, the fifth race. I have a 3, 2, 8, and 9 starter allowance going 7 on the grass. I put Kitten by Sea on top for Todd Pletcher. Three back down at Gulfstream showed some nice early speed, took him all the way around. And this horse was claimed out of that race by Mike Rapoli. A couple of allowance races since up at Saratoga in July, ran a good third. The follow-up was a little bit disappointing. But I think overall, this horse is kind of a nice fit with this bunch. Robin Sparkles, the one turf race, says Robin Sparkles might wind up being the horse to beat if this one can get back to what we saw in that lone turf start. And then Princess Fawzia, I think, could be a player as well for Linda Rice and John Velasquez. 3 seconds and a first in 4 starts. So it has a little bit of a bridesmaid feel, but certainly deserves to be in the mix in this fifth at Belmont. Again, I have a 3, 2, 8, and 9. And again, we'll be looking at this sequence a little bit later on as well on OTB Live this afternoon when we come back in for some more handicapping action. But now we will take a break. When we come back, we'll also have some handicapping action with our friend Ron Nicoletti at Gulfstream Park. We'll get some thoughts somewhere in that rainbow sequence. He'll give us 2 or 3 ideas for today as the rainbow, again, will balloon up to some very big numbers with the mandatory pay today. So we'll take a break. When we come back, Ron Nicoletti, stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play. In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
The New York hero, Tiz the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
When New York-bred Tiz the Law won the 2020 Belmont Stakes, OTB TV was live with owner Jack Nolan to capture all the excitement.
And certainly, seeing what he did today, we think a mile and a quarter as well within his range. And Hopefully he can prove it at Saratoga Racecourse.
For exclusive interviews and racing information, stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV and win more.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Unfortunately, we had some phone problems, so we won't be able to plug Ron in, but we will take a couple of minutes to replay a couple of the stakes yesterday from Gulfstream. They had a number of stakes races yesterday at Gulfstream, and two of them were for two-year-olds. They were those rich sire stakes races that they have annually down there at this time of year. $400,000 up for grabs, so I thought worth taking a look in replay at those two races. And the My Dear Girl is up first. This is for the two-year-old fillies. The favorite in here was number two, Big Rings, coming off a big maiden debut victory for Ralph Nix. Jaramillo was on board that day, on board again yesterday. That one could do no better than third, the number two horse. The winner's the number seven, Princess Secret, who, I'm just looking, yeah, had the most experience in the field with four starts. Go, Jojo, go. Actually had five starts, but had plenty of experience with four starts as compared to the others, and gets it done here over the number one, Rest of the Story. Nice little ding-dong battle here over what was, I'm just looking to make sure it was rated. Well, it was still rated fast then, but you could see the rain coming down. They did have some weather yesterday, and that's, you know, if you're playing that rainbow today, make sure to check scratches and track conditions and weather and whatnot, because they had some rain on Friday and again on Saturday. So we'll see how it shakes out as far as this afternoon. But Princess Secret gets it done in the rich stake to run the record to five starts, three wins in a couple of seconds, and second choice at 5-2. So that was a logical contender. Rest of the Story, though, got away at a little bit of a price. This is a horse for Eddie Plisa, who does very well with the two-year-olds. Second in the debut, broke the maiden pretty nicely in the second start. Now, the buyers were maybe a little bit light, but stepped it up and ran a good second. And again, at 16-1 yesterday. And again, Big Rings, who came off the debut effort with the favoritism in the stakes race yesterday, runs third. And I just want the exact in here with the 5-2 over the 16-1. Yeah, you got $86. Nice little exacta there. Again, I think Rest of the Story, 15-1 on the morning line, went off at 16-1. Off a pretty good-looking win in the second career start, but that buyer was a little light. The betting public, and I admit I get sucked into it too, a lot of times focus on those buyers, but the horse proved to be better than that yesterday with the good second-place finish at a price that, again, helped to make a pretty nice exacta with the second price on the board. On top, you wind up with 80-some dollars for the exacta. A little bit later on, it was the In Reality division. This was the boys' version. Again, $400,000 up for grabs. The favorite at 30 cents to the dollar is number four, Breeze on By, who was 3-for-3 in the career for Ralph Nix, including a couple of stakes races leading into this series at 6 and 7 furlongs, but was trying two turns for the first time. So Breeze on By, even money on the morning line, as I say, 30 cents to the dollar as the favorite yesterday. But that's the number four horse, can only wind up second behind number five, Boca Boy, who had finished third behind Breeze on By two starts back. Last time tried the turf and ran second. So the turf to dirt move, again, on a track that by this point was called Sloppy and Sealed, gets it done. Boca Boy over the big favorite, Breeze on By, who just can't make up the ground there in that last 16th of a mile. The chart margin, two. Chart margin between second and third, two, as Cezanne runs third in there. So the 12-1 over the 30 cent to the dollar favorite. Still wound up with an okay exacta. If you happen to like Boca Boy, you wound up with $52 and change there with the short-priced favorite running second and the $26 horse on top. But Boca Boy, again, Edgar Zayas in the saddle, and now the record, two wins in four starts with the second and the third off of that turf to dirt move last time, which proved to be beneficial for that one. And again, it is a closing day at Gulfstream, which means it's also closing day at Churchill, and I pulled up some trainer and jockey stats here just to give you a thought. And Churchill is closing day too, and there's a mandatory on their pick, but I think it was hit yesterday. So with a mandatory, that usually attracts some attention. So if you normally play that or you want to play it, it'll probably be worth taking a shot at, but it's not going to have the size and scope of the mandatory at Gulfstream, which has the 740,000 sitting out there. But again, with this being closing day at Churchill, just thought we'd take a look again at the trainers and jockeys. Currently, Tyler Gaffalione has a stranglehold on this fall meet as far as the top jockey. He has 20 wins. Ricardo Santana is next with 12. Hard to make up 8 in the last day. Gabriel Saez, 11. Florent Giroux, 10. Corey Lannery sits 5th with 8 wins. But as I say, Tyler Gaffalione, really since the move out of Southern Florida and kind of bouncing around that Kentucky circuit, he has come into his own, and he's going to do it again fall meet here at Churchill. On the trainer side of things, top trainer Steve Asmussen, who just a few days ago hit the 9,000 win mark for his career, but he's going to get a title. It seems like it. Well, I didn't see how many each of these has in today. Let me see, because he's 4 ahead of Brad Cox. Brad Cox with only 1 entrant today. So yeah, Asmussen would seem to have this in his back pocket. Steve Asmussen at this meet, 11 wins. Brad Cox with 7. Mike Maker, 6. Chad Brown and Brett Calhoun tied with 5 wins each. But it looks like Asmussen and Gaffalione will lead the way at Churchill Downs for the fall meet. And let me just take a quick look at Gulfstream, as it is their closing day, to give you some ideas there at who on the human side of things is going to wind up. And this, you know, this is a fairly long meet, because this is the meet that starts when the championship meets ends. And the date's actually, April 2nd until today. So this is the long spring, summer, very early fall meet. And the current leading jockey, Edgar Zayas, with 137. Miguel Vasquez with 126. MSCL Jaramillo with 118. Christian Torres, 61. And Lionel Reyes with 57. So Zayas pretty safely, absolutely safely, on top of the jockey standings there with this, again, long summer meet. And on the trainer side of things, and again, it's become interesting down in South Florida over the past couple of years, with a lot of prominent trainers keeping some horses there over the summertime. Not necessarily enough to vie for leadership roles, but Todd Pletcher is sitting in 4th with this long summer meet. Safi Joseph on top with 58 winners. Mike Maker, again, familiar name, 43. Antonio Sano, 40. Todd Pletcher, 33. And Ralph Nix, 30. So again, I don't know whether, you know, if you went back 5 or 10 years, certainly Pletcher probably wouldn't have been there. But he keeps some horses there now during the summer. Mike Maker might not have been on the list as well. But again, the Gulfstream culture has changed a little bit in that the summertime has become attractive to some barns to keep horses there throughout that summer meet. They're going to wrap up at Gulfstream today, and then in the next few days, the short Gulfstream Park West meet, the old Calder. So that'll be the focus of things down in Southern Florida for a while. And we will certainly have some of that on the network as well. So there are your kind of up-to-date going into the last day stats for Churchill and Gulfstream. And again, we'll look at those a little bit later on OTB Live. And I will be back in a couple hours with OTB Live. I'll wrap things up now for Racing Across America. Don't forget, you still have about an hour to jump on the bankroll team for the Rainbow Six carryover at Gulfstream. Go to CapitalOTB.com, put your name in the hat. We'll have some dough to play into that Rainbow Six a little later on today, and hopefully cash out for the folks selected on the team. So see if you can make the team by going to CapitalOTB.com and put your name in the mix. Also, don't forget today, NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. You can come down and enjoy all the football action and all the racing action every Sunday during the season right here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. You can also grab some lunch if you'd like to as well. Don't forget, I always like to remind people, wear the mask. Got to wear the mask when you come in. And as you walk around the building, when you sit down, you can take the mask off. But it is, you know, all the same rules that apply for businesses and stores and restaurants and whatnot apply down here at the Racebook as well, and our various parlors and the Easy Bets also. So just make sure you have the mask with you when you come on down to enjoy an afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook. As I say, when you sit down, as with other places, you can take the mask off and enjoy the action. But racing action, football action this afternoon here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I think that catches us up and brings us to the end of this edition of Racing Across America. We will be back, as I say, an hour and a half or so to kick off a Sunday afternoon OTB Live. We'll see if we can toss out some decent information, keep things going after a fun evening last night, taking a look at the action at Santa Anita and making a little money for the bankroll team. We will see if we can make some money for the Rainbow Six bankroll team this afternoon as well. So we appreciate your tuning in this morning, as always, for Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. For everybody here, thanks for tuning in. And again, we'll see you in about an hour and a half with OTB Live.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.